This is another DAM podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Anthony Allen. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me today.
Not a problem. Anthony, how are you involved with digital asset management?
So I'm the director of digital media for the American Society for Training and Development. And it always helps to explain a company or an audience before diving into the finer points of digital asset management. So ASTD is an association for trainers, and we train trainers. Mm-hmm. And we've been in business for about 60 years, and we have about 45,000 members. We are a nonprofit, a mission-driven publisher, but still very much care about the bottom line. We consider ourselves a small publisher. We publish books, magazines, pamphlets, smaller 20, 30 page books. And we also have a very heavy practice for video. And the video and media production is specifically geared to our conferences. Mm-hmm. We have a small 1,500 person conference in January and a large 8,000 person conference in June, and we record most of the material there. So we produce hundreds and hundreds of hours of conference content every year as well. So thousands of assets in our digital library for PowerPoints synced to audio and live full frame video production for the conferences. Mm-hmm. So I was brought on to ASTD, this is how I refer to the company, mm-hmm. about 3 years ago, to basically take care of content management, digital asset management, mm-hmm. tagging, XML, and I've done full force into that realm. And when I came to ASTD, there was a really quite a shock. I had actually come from the video world, and I was a producer at Discovery Channel. Mm-hmm. And video, they've been making TV basically the same way for decades. And so the taxonomy and the metadata-based publishing search within libraries for video assets is actually quite mature. Mm-hmm. Lucky me. Now, I had actually then moved on to ASTD, and I came to a publishing house that in an industry that had no taxonomy. Mm-hmm. There, the content is also highly contextual, meaning that search is very, very difficult with training content. And the reason is because it's the exact opposite of medical content. If you search for basal cell carcinoma in a medical directory, you're going to get information about basal cell carcinoma. Mm-hmm. Now, training content, on the other hand, is very contextual, and we trainers argue about the definition. So I was at a shock, you know, at a loss for where to start when I started my job as kind of a content manager. So with ASD over the past 3 years, what we've done is we've developed a taxonomy for the training industry that I'm now going out and into other content production houses for training content, mm-hmm. and trying to get them to adopt the training taxonomy. It's a very, very large initiative for us. I've also made some large technology purchases for the content management, benefit of all of the content production departments within ASTD. We have an XML-based content management system, an XML-based metadata workflow publishing engine, and we also have a part of ASTD that goes and takes our content, which is at the very, very end of the print cycle, PDFs, and then converts that content into XML. Mm-hmm. And then it is tagged according to our taxonomy. It is tagged according to the DITA XML standard. And then it is put into a repository. And then afterwards, we have basically what I call a workflow expansion framework that allows us to build new workflows to get new formats out into the publishing world, make money with EPUB, make money with all this, you know, other formats as well. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gives us a scope of how I'm involved with digital asset management. And it really was from, you know, zero to now. I would say that we have a lot of our internal production workflow practices matured, and that now we're squarely looking at the future as far as getting this content out and creating new and exciting applications that leverage the metadata. And so the word of the day and the phrase for the future is really metadata-based publishing for ASTD.
Why does a training and development organization use a DAM specifically? What is the end goal?
Yeah, so there's two things here. There's ASTD, the publisher, the small publisher, but then there's also ASTD, the representative and quasi-governing body for training and development organizations, of which our members are trainers within organizations. They are independent consultants who are brought into large companies like IBM to give sexual harassment training, leadership training, and so on. And we also represent the vendors in this space, and those vendors can include other small publishers of training content. It can include technology companies that produce learning management systems, and it can also be other companies that create training content. A hot topic right now is education modules, education components, so smaller building blocks of content. So I'll kind of tackle the first part first, as ASTD as the publisher of content. So we don't really do anything different than any other small publishing house does, and with, you know, tongue in cheek, I say we look at what the big boys are doing, mm-hmm. and we try to mimic it.
Sure.
Now there's a couple of things that are going on here. Companies like O'Reilly, mm-hmm. Very, you know, hot in the digital publishing space, mm-hmm. they are setting the expectation of digital formats. When you buy an EPUB or like an ebook from O'Reilly, you actually get APK, Mobi, EPUB, and now even DAISY,
You get multiple formats for you. Okay. So you can choose, or all of the above.
Yeah, and so it kind of allows you to really feel confident that you are going to be able to use this on your devices, and which is, you know, with on the TV side, TV Anywhere was something that kind of happened a while ago, and then the digital rights locker, which Neustar is trying to get off the ground, is another kind of one of those let's get to the promised land of I buy this movie, I buy this TV show, and I get to view it on all my devices, and it's again metadata based digital rights management. But ASD isn't doing anything different than other small publishers and saying, we need to look at what the big boys are doing and mimic it. And there are definitely business reasons for doing that. As far as the O'Reilly example goes, we need to meet the expectations of our customers. Those expectations are not being set by us. They're being set by other companies like O'Reilly. That, you know, they're doing a really good job of making those expectations harder and harder to attain. So we have to keep up with each new search experience great search experience that somebody has at Google, with each great business model that the newspapers make up. Smaller publishers like ASD have got to keep up with that, or we look further and further behind. Now, the other part of the piece is stuff like Amazon, and this again speaks to the first part of ASD as a small publisher. Amazon is great because ASD is a commercial publisher, and that we have lots of our stuff up on Amazon. Mm-hmm. But the taxonomy that governs Amazon, mm-hmm. is completely meaningless for, mm-hmm. trainers. Mm-hmm. One of our big hit books is called Tellin' Ain't Trainin'. Well, it's actually listed, what one of the four ways it's listed metadata-wise, is under psychology and counseling. Now, no trainer is going to go to psychology and counseling to find training content. Now, Amazon is great in that it sends way more traffic to our books than we ever could. But from a business perspective, they take a huge cut. And the training taxonomy, metadata-based publishing, and better categories on our stores that are more meaningful for our audience is going to allow us to sell more on our own website, which is where we keep most of the profits. And I'm building my P&L for my boss to say, hey, we need to invest, you know, 25, 50, 75 grand in this new technology. Part of that P&L is part of that business justification is driving traffic back to our site where we don't have to depend on other sites like Amazon where they take a huge cut of the books.
And so just to clarify, a P&L, you mean a profit and loss?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, as a business owner, I have to go to my boss, I have to beg for money, and he says, Anthony, why?
So prove your cause, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Now, the other part of your question was, why does a training and development organization use the DAM? And so the big part of training and technology, where those two things meet are in what I call, well, actually what everybody calls learning management systems. Mm-hmm. Learning management systems are things like Blackboard is a big LMS. Those systems are somewhere where a student can start a class and the learning management systems take the student through the class and mark off with metadata what has been completed, what the scores are. It takes all that data and sends it to the teacher for verification. It marks off what classes they've taken. And the other thing that it does is it can match learning objectives and content to industry metadata standards, like SCORM is one of them for the education industry. And so that kind of flow of data and that kind of process, the whole e-learning industry would not have been born had it not been for digital asset management. All the video clips that people play as part of their class, moving things around from this folder to that other folder, being able to create new classes and new training sessions, new educational sessions that are built off of learning blocks from other training classes, being able to customize courses, none of that stuff would happen without a digital asset management. And if you look at the rise of Blackboard, Blackboard is now an incredibly profitable company. You know, I did their IPO. I look at Rosetta Stone and their use of digital asset management. I look at Audible.com with their audio versions of books. These are all companies that have found incredible amounts of success by leveraging digital asset management and selling better to their customers, meeting their customers' expectations, quicker time to market, better product, and it's all through the leveraging of technology.
Anthony, what advice would you like to give to DAM professionals or people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
So there's a place in the U.S. called Silicon Valley, and there happens to be just thousands of web startups there. Mm-hmm. A lot of web startups start with a problem statement. What problem are you trying to fix, and how does your company, your web startup, fix that problem? I would recommend to anybody that wants to become a DAM professional is to figure out what problems there are and then create a solution that is DAM specific. You know, start with a problem statement, and you can start at your own company. No matter what the company, what the industry, there's probably a process that is at risk for falling apart because of ill management. And there's probably a process that could use a dose of technology. These kinds of problems that can be fixed with a proper process is ripe for a digital asset management system. And because there's so much sense of media, like even non-media companies now, because of the rise of media and consumable media on the web, consider themselves part-time media companies. The digital asset management then comes into play for seemingly unrelated industries and companies. So for anybody aspiring to get into the digital asset management field, start with a problem. Look at your company and say, wow, this really is a problem. And then think, how can this problem be fixed with digital asset management? And it's very, I encourage people to go out and meet other people in the digital asset management field. Go up to them, you know, find them on LinkedIn, go up to them at a meetup, and then pose your problem to them and say, you know, my company has this issue. How would you fix it? Mm-hmm. And you never know that what that digital asset management professional may actually, you know, what they give to you. If you go to your boss with that, that boss will see you as, wow, this person is trying to fix problems, trying to help, trying to leverage technology. You may carve out a whole new, you know, job description for yourself in the process. So that's where I would start. I would start with a problem statement.
Great. Well, thank you, Anthony. For more on digital asset management, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Thanks again.